This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Northwest Safe. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Happening now.
The biggest story of the day is the biggest story of political import, probably for a lot of people's lifetimes, depending on how old you are. Right now, history is being made as the Senate is engaged in day one of the impeachment trial. Today is all about the House managers going up against the Trump legal team, debating the rules that will be followed over the course of the next probably couple weeks, maybe even less than that. We went into today expecting a resolution that we talked about yesterday coming from Mitch McConnell outlining the rules, very, very similar, no matter what the Democrats want to say, to the rules that were passed under the Clinton impeachment. It originally was 2 days for the Trump team, 2 days for the House managers, up to 24 hours you can use. So the thinking was 12 hours each day to make your case. Afterwards, 16 hours of questions in written form coming from the Senate, read to whomever the question is for through Chief Justice John Roberts, who is overseeing the procedure. After that, then they would take a vote as to whether or not they would allow additional documents or if they would allow witnesses to testify. The only change in all of that was early today, Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine, said, whoa, I don't necessarily like this whole thing of just 2 days. Let's do 3 days. So Mitch McConnell agreed. He changed the resolution. He put it forward earlier today, and that's what they're debating it now. So it's still 24 hours for both sides, which is a lot of time to dedicate to making a case. But it's going to be done over 3 days each way. Now, again, this depends on whether or not they're going to use the full 24 hours. They're going to use the full 24 hours. We knew exactly what the Democrats were going to say today. They've been following the script as any of us could have actually created it. They have the complaints over the timeline, pretending that this is all going to be done in the dead of night. Chuck Schumer said over and over and over and over again some more. Pretending that what's going on right now in the Senate and what will go on over the course of the next 2 weeks is going to be done in secret because it might happen after sundown. Because God forbid some of the senators on an issue that I'm told is incredibly important and we have to get to might actually have to work after supper. The argument that they're making essentially on the Democratic side is it's somehow smarter to hold an impeachment trial at, say, 6 a.m. our time as you're getting up, have some key pieces of testimony being delivered at, 11 a.m. on a Wednesday when you're in a meeting, instead of actually doing it later on in the evening where you can listen to it live on your drive home and then watch it on TV later on in the evening as you're winding down. They want you to believe that this is all being done in secret. Every single news outlet in the entire country is covering this, and they're spending the majority of their time on this. But we're told all of a sudden, whoa, y'all are going a little bit too fast, Republicans. Why are you doing it so fast? Why are you doing it in secret? They rushed this in the House. Democrats rushed this in the House, and they did it because Donald Trump is this huge threat. He is a national security threat if we don't engage in this impeachment under our rushed timeline. We are this close from getting to a monarchy if we don't punish this president. But now they say, slow your roll, guys. Slow your roll, Mitch McConnell. Midnight Mitch, you're going a little bit too fast. We can't go according to this timeline. And yet they're still using the monarchy line. Here's Adam Schiff.
If a president can obstruct his own investigation, if he can effectively nullify a power the Constitution gives solely to Congress, indeed the ultimate power. The ultimate power the Constitution gives to prevent presidential misconduct, then the president places himself beyond accountability, above the law. Cannot be indicted, cannot be impeached. It makes him a monarch, the very evil against which our Constitution and the balance of powers it carefully laid out was designed to guard against.
Okay, so it does seem like we're in an emergency situation. So why do you need more time? I mean, that's really what they've been saying for a while. And the underpinning of their argument is that we need more time. We need more time. We need more time. Why'd you hold on to the articles of impeachment for a month? What were you doing that entire time? Were you not readying yourself for the case that you knew was inevitable to happen in the Senate? Instead, they spent the day complaining, oh, this is just not fair. McConnell doesn't want a fair trial. I mean, us in the House, man, we did really, really well. Yeah, we didn't allow President Trump to cross-examine the witnesses. We did almost everything in secret, literally in a bunker in the House chamber. But, you know, okay, fine. We still have evidence that we haven't actually turned over to the Trump defense team. But we were fair there. How dare you, in the Senate, create this phony trial?
In the Clinton trial, both Senate leadership worked out a bipartisan proposal for how the trial would be conducted. That obviously has not happened here.
Did it happen in the House? Or did you agree to a set of rules without a single Republican saying, yes, this is appropriate? Continue.
Senator McConnell did not consult at all with Senator Schumer on the contents of this text. I would imagine that Senator Schumer only got to see it to probably around the same time that we did in the House. And the reason this was kept hidden is that it does not prescribe a process for a fair trial.
Oh, okay.
And the American people desperately want to believe that the Senate will give both the president and the House of Representatives a fair trial.
That's so interesting. This whole idea that this was done in secret, you're spending the entire day today debating it in public. Literally every single hour that they spent today on the impeachment is about the resolutions. The one that's put forward by Mitch McConnell and the one that was put forward by Chuck Schumer. Now, Chuck Schumer doesn't have the votes. Mitch McConnell does. Mitch McConnell made the small changes per some disagreement with Susan Collins because he wants all Republicans to be on board. Democrats love to point to Susan Collins as this person who she's going to keep the Republicans in line because she knows what's at stake. But when Susan Collins actually votes alongside the Republicans, they're not going to say that this is the right thing. They're going to completely ignore that. The system that was set up in the House was unfair, and now they're complaining the system set up in the Senate that's modeled after what happened with Clinton, they're claiming is unfair. Got it. Adam Schiff all day today has been up there setting a high bar for what he wants Republicans to climb to meet, in order for this to be deemed a quote-unquote fair trial. Adam Schiff has set the bar so high, he did not even come close to meeting it when you say, when you review what they did in the House and then you compare it to what they're doing here. They keep saying, oh, you know what, this is not at all about the Clinton impeachment. Oh, you're violating everyone. What are you saying? There's no connection whatsoever other than these are two presidents who are impeached, but the rules are not the same. Well, Representative John Ratcliffe, Republican from Texas, had this to say on Fox News earlier today.
Is a comparison of what happened, the disparity in the way that President Clinton and President Nixon were treated during their impeachment inquiries as opposed to President Trump. The Nixon and Clinton lawyers were allowed to participate every single day. From the very beginning to the very end, they were allowed to review evidence, to suggest evidence, to call witnesses, and to cross-examine witnesses. By comparison, President Trump, during a 78-day impeachment inquiry, his lawyers were forbidden from participating for the first 71 of a 78-day process. Not allowed to call witnesses, cross-examine witnesses, be there for the presentation or review of evidence. That's a lack of due process and fairness that I think all senators, Republican and Democrat, are going to be surprised to learn. And I think as a result of that, they're not going to want to hear any witnesses because the Senate isn't going to be able to fix what happened in the House.
The witnesses. It is all about the witnesses, and it is all about whether or not the Senate will do the work that the House should have done. We're going to talk about that, analyze the arguments when we come back, and then we're going to go to live coverage of the impeachment hearing as it's happening right now on Capitol Hill. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/JasonRants if you want to follow along what's been going on throughout the day before you can actually get onto the show for my analysis. What I think is pretty clear here, and it's by design, Adam Schiff and the other House managers, all these Democrats, they want to pretend not only is this whole process unfair, they need to talk to the witnesses. It is a circular argument in a way. It is a self-defeating argument. They are claiming over and over and over and over again some more that they have a crystal clear case of the president abusing power, of obstructing Congress. They made that case perfectly. You know how Trump has the perfect phone call? Adam Schiff has the perfect impeachment hearing. They made their case and then some. The evidence is overwhelming, they say. And at the exact same time, they're also saying, we need more witnesses. We didn't get the witnesses out in the House because we were obstructed by Trump. What do you need more witnesses for if your case is perfect? What exactly do you now need if your case is perfect that you have no reservations about your yes vote to impeach? What exactly are you going for? They want witnesses because they should have waited and gone down the route of asking the courts to decide whether or not executive privilege should have been put out there by the Trump administration. They chose not to do that because they knew that if they went down the route of the courts, they would lose. And if they lost getting that witness, if they went in front of a court and said, you know what, we cannot continue on this crucial impeachment question unless you give us access to witness X, Y, and Z. And a judge said, sorry, you don't get those witnesses because of executive privilege. They would not be able to come back and make the argument, well, we can still impeach even though we don't have all the witnesses that we asked for. And so they decided not to go down that route. They decided, under Adam Schiff's leadership and Jerry Nadler and Val Demings and Zoe Lofgren and, of course, Nancy Pelosi, they decided they're just going to move full ahead and claim because the House asked for documents, subpoenaed witnesses, that means they just are supposed to be agreed with. That the opposing party should just say, oh, okay, well, if you subpoenaed it, okay. Completely ignoring the courts. And this is the tactic that they took that makes them so open to calls of hypocrisy. Jay Sekulow is one of the lawyers for Team Trump. This is a guy who's argued in front of the Supreme Court numerous times. He's a constitutional expert. And he pointed out the hypocrisy today.
On June 28, 2012, Attorney General Eric Holder became the first United States Attorney General to be held in both civil and criminal contempt. Why? Because President Obama asserted executive privilege. With respect to the Holder contempt proceedings, Mr. Manager Schiff wrote, the White House assertion of privilege is backed by decades of precedent that has recognized the need for the president and his senior advisors to receive candid advice and information from their top aides. Indeed, that's correct. Not because Manager Schiff said it, but because the Constitution requires it.
Adam Schiff doesn't care about the Constitution. This is all political. When Schumer comes out and says they want more witnesses, and then you come back and say, well, okay, fine, you want witnesses, Hunter Biden. Oh, no, not that witness. What does he have to offer? You don't get to make that decision, Chuck Schumer. Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Val, you guys don't get to make that call. You can't, on the one hand, call for witnesses, and then when Republicans say, okay, we'd like to call Hunter Biden, you can't then say, well, no, that's not what we mean. You can't have it both ways. Now, if they want to open this up to demanding witnesses, fine. I'm not opposed to having witnesses called. I just think it highlights the sham process in the House by arguing that all of a sudden they need witnesses that they couldn't get or didn't want to pursue in the House. Now, if you want to call witnesses, all the power to you. But you're opening yourself up to have witnesses getting called that you don't want to speak. And the Republicans will take that opportunity. They will call Hunter Biden. They might call Joe Biden. Adam Schiff himself is someone who should be a part of the witness list, but he's not. He's Representative Doug Collins, the Republican from Georgia.
For all these folks now in this faux outrage that I hear about, oh, John Bolton needs to testify, then why didn't Adam Schiff subpoena him?
Right.
He never subpoenaed John Bolton.
Was
he never did
cover
these
up?
Things. Because
was
this
that
is
a cover up, Congressman?
I think it's a cover-up from the fact that Adam Schiff is a fact witness. Adam Schiff does not want the American public how much he and his committee knew about this whistleblower and the issues going forward, because once it found out that he had contact with the whistleblower, all of a sudden the whistleblower became, you know, oh, well, we don't really need the whistleblower's activity. Yeah. Why? Because it shined the light on his activities, which were wrong in the process.
Adam Schiff is going to have to answer to that. The whistleblower might be called as a witness. Again, Democrats don't want that to happen, and yet they're calling for witnesses. Understand, the only thing that the Democrats are doing right now, their argument is essentially this. If you do not do things the way we want them done, this is an unfair process. That is their argument. Now, I know that you guys listening right now, whether you're in Chehalis or Kennewick or Kirkland, you know that. You're listening right now, maybe in your car, maybe in your office. You know exactly what the Republicans are doing. Here's a problem for all of us. You are in a unique position where you spend a lot of time listening to this coverage on this show, on this station. There are a lot of people out there who don't have access to this information. They're getting their information tonight from CNN, although to be fair, only 12 people watch CNN. They're getting it from MSNBC. Okay, they don't really watch MSNBC either, so that's a bad example. They're getting it from NBC News.
On Twitter.
And on Twitter, Producer Peyton. That's where they're getting it. And they're getting it from people who are making bad faith arguments. They're getting it from people who are doing exactly what Adam Schiff wants to do. The problem with the media in a general sense, when we're talking about things like this, they are so in the tank against Donald Trump, they are not going to deliver this to you honestly. You will see through it, but your neighbors might not. Your coworkers might not. Your uncle and aunt and grandparents might not. And that's why it's so important to arm yourself with knowledge of what's going on. Now, we're going to go to the live coverage on the House floor, in the Senate floor, in just a few seconds, because I want you to hear some of the arguments coming from Adam Schiff. And I can already foresee the text messages coming in saying, oh, he's such a liar. It's making me so upset and angry, and I don't even know if I want to listen to this. You have to. We need to be better informed so we can go out there and fight on behalf of what's right. Fight on behalf of the Constitution. I know you're about to throw up once we play this audio of Adam Schiff live on the Senate floor. Swallow it. Keep it down, man. This is important. Here is Adam Schiff delivering a speech on behalf of a resolution pushed forward by Chuck Schumer.
Rick Perry, the former Secretary of Energy. Well, we know from Amigo Sondland's testimony that he was certainly in the loop and knew exactly all about this scheme. And we know from Ambassador Volker's testimony and his text messages and his WhatsApps that Amigo was in the loop. What about the third Amigo? Wouldn't you like to know if the third Amigo was in the loop? Now, as my colleagues will explain, when we get to the Department of Energy records, that, well, surprisingly, we didn't get those either. But any communication between the Department of Energy and the Department of State is covered by this amendment. Wouldn't you like to know? Don't you think the American people have a right to know what the third Amigo knew about this scheme? I'd like to know. I think you should be able to ask questions about it in your 16 hours. At the end of the day, I guess I'll finish with something Mr. Sekulow said. He said, this was a dangerous moment because we're trying to rush through this somehow. It is a dangerous moment, but we're not trying to rush through this trial. We're actually trying to have a real trial here.
Oh, are you?
It's the president that's trying to rush through this. And I have to tell you that whatever you decide here, and maybe this is wasted breath and maybe it's already decided, but whatever you decide here, I don't know who the next president's going to be. Maybe it'll be someone in this chamber. But I guarantee you this, whoever that next president is, whether they did something right or they did something wrong, there's going to come a time where you and this body are going to want to subpoena that president and that administration. You're going to want to get to the bottom of serious allegations. Are you prepared to say that president can simply say, I'm going to fight all subpoenas. Are you prepared to say and accept that president saying, I have absolute immunity. You want me to come testify? Senator, you want me to come and testify? No, no. I have absolute immunity. You can subpoena me all you like. I'll see you in court. And when you get to court, I'm going to tell you, you can't see me in court.
That's Adam Schiff. The problem with his horrible, horrible example there is that they choose not to go to court. Now, if they went to a court and a judge said, yes, you have to turn over documents. Yes, you have to testify. No, you don't have any immunity. Get in Congress and talk to them. And then the president said no. Then he would have actually violated the law. He would have actually committed a crime. But Adam Schiff didn't want to do that because he knows the people at home who have casual relationships with the news don't know any better. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho live on this Tuesday afternoon as the Senate right now is debating a set of rules to govern the next several days for the President Trump impeachment. Senator Schumer proposed an amendment to subpoena management and budget documents. The vote is going on right now. It's expected not to pass. So as this is going on, what should the narrative be coming from the Republican Party? Not just to make sure that the facts of these days actually get in front of the American people, but to actually get people activated. So they're fighting on behalf of the president and fighting on behalf of the party. Joining me on the line live with his reaction is Michael Joyce. He is the deputy press secretary for the RNC. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So far today has gone pretty much as expected. Susan Collins, I think, maybe put a little bit of a wrinkle, unless it was by design, to change some of the rules, not much. What's your general take of how everything's gone so far?
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway we've taken from what's happened so far, of course, you just have the House impeachment managers and the president's counsel arguing over the But our takeaway is that House Democrats, they seem to think that they can have it both ways on witnesses and evidence. They're claiming that they need more evidence to support what they've already called an overwhelming, conclusive, and infallible case. I can go down the list. Pelosi said it earlier. She said, we have a strong case, an infallible, undeniable case for the impeachment of the president. Jerry Nadler, there's an overwhelming case beyond any reasonable doubt. Adam Schiff, it is true the record compiled by the House is overwhelming. It is true the record already compels the conviction of the president. Yet, these same people are also claiming that they need to obtain more evidence and need to hear from additional witnesses to salvage their overwhelming case. Pelosi herself argued that they need to have witnesses and documentation, and if they don't, this is just another cover-up. I mean, it's absolutely absurd. They had every opportunity to present their case in the House of Representatives during the impeachment inquiry in the House, and now they're saying, well, we need more evidence. So they really seem to want it both ways. They're saying, on one hand, we have overwhelming evidence, and on the other hand, they're saying, well, we need to hear more evidence. And, you know, if I remember correctly, that's supposed to take place in the House. The Senate part, an impeachment trial, is meant for a trial, not to go over the facts again. Excuse me. So we're seeing quite a bit of hypocrisy from mm-hmm. House Democrats today. And it's really just more of the same from what we've seen from them.
So, Michael, obviously, as deputy press secretary for the RNC, you're involved in the messaging, the narrative coming from the party. What exactly is the game plan in getting in front of people who might just learn about what's going on today from the New York Times or CNN, where they're not going to be told specifically that the House had the opportunity to do this and they chose not to? You know that Adam Schiff's talking points are going to get regurgitated by a lot of news outlets that people are only exclusively getting their news from.
Right. Well, you know, I look back and think about the fact that Adam Schiff has done countless Sunday shows. He's done countless TV interviews. He led the impeachment inquiry in the House. Here he is as an impeachment manager speaking on the Senate floor as we speak right now. And yet, even on Jeopardy for a $1,200 mm-hmm. question, they had no idea who Adam Schiff is. And what that tells me is that simply the American people, and I know this is anecdotal, but the American people are not focused day in and out. They're not watching the Senate trial. They're not watching the House inquiry day in and out like we have to, unfortunately. But again, I think at the end of the day, the American people are focused on kitchen table issues. And so I think they see through Nancy Pelosi when she purposely withheld the articles of impeachment to the Senate. She took a gamble and she lost. Even CNN ran a story by Chris D'Elisa saying that she lost the gamble on that. So I think it really shows that the House Democrats have done nothing, and Democrats as a whole have done nothing other than play games throughout this entire process, because it started with the Russia collusion hoax. Then they tried to do Justice Kavanaugh, and they tried to turn that into a big thing. And now they're trying to take the Ukraine phone call. But I think the American people, after 3 years now, have realized that this is nothing more than a continuation of their political vendetta against President Trump. From the moment he announced and came down the escalator from Tower, they've been trying to get President Trump from day one, and they have no idea how to do it. And to steal a phrase from Al Green, you've heard many Democrats say this now at this point, but they truly believe if they don't impeach President Trump, they can't beat him at the ballot box next year. And you know what? They're absolutely right.
Just joining me, we're talking with Michael Joyce. He's the deputy press secretary for the RNC, about the day's events concerning the debate on the rules for impeachment in the Senate. How concerned are you with the handful of more moderate or skeptical, I suppose, Republicans, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, maybe Lamar Alexander, taking a position that, yes, we should, in fact, have some witnesses?
Well, at the end of the day, you still need 67 votes to move forward, and I don't see that happening whatsoever. I think Republicans have been united behind the president. I think they've been focused on the fact that every single time you hear what's coming out of the House Democrats' mouths, Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Nadler, I think you're really seeing just truly how partisan this entire thing has been. And we had bipartisan opposition in the House to impeachment. When we actually get to a vote for acquittal in the Senate, you know, it's hard to say what that vote will specifically be. But I think at the end of the day, you look at the approval rating this president enjoys among Republican voters and the Republican base, and it's very easy to see that Republicans around the country support this president. They see this for what it is. It's a partisan impeachment that's been taking place now for years. And I think the American people are ready to move on.
So what's the argument then? Why should there not be any witnesses whatsoever when Republicans have said, hey, we'd like to hear from Hunter Biden? Because what would be interesting in that is you've got the Democrats who would just open themselves up to more of a claim of hypocrisy. They're calling for witnesses. But then the second you say, OK, Hunter Biden or the whistleblower, they say, oh, no, that's not a relevant witness.
Right. It's very hypocritical of them. And I think it was actually Senator Ted Cruz who said, we can bring forward some of the witnesses the Democrats want if we get to hear from who we'd like to hear from, the whistleblower, other folks that we've been calling for, people like Hunter Biden. I think there's no way, shape or form of any chance of possibility that Hunter Biden or the whistleblower would actually come forward and testify in front of the trial. So I think, again, we don't really need to see witnesses or anything, because at the end of the day, this is all based off of a transcript. Because if you remember what Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi said when they first launched this impeachment inquiry, they said this is a very narrowly focused impeachment inquiry, and we're going to focus on this phone call. Well, you can read the transcript for yourself. You can see there was no quid pro quo, no extortion, no DCCC poll test, focus group tested, you know, grounds for impeachment, bribery, whatever they want to call it. None of that sticks. And again, all you have to go do is read the transcript for yourself and see that there was nothing wrong here. They simply just don't like the way the president talks. They don't like the president. This is nothing more than a continuation of their political vendetta.
Last question for you. The vote that just took place was to subpoena State Department documents. It was an amendment that was pushed forward by Senator Schumer. 53 Republicans voted in favor of tabling it. We expect this to continue throughout the night. You know, what was interesting, I think it was very clear in the House that Republicans were purposefully also trying to gum up the process to make a point. Are you concerned now that the Democrats are basically doing the exact same thing, just with which much different and, I would argue, certainly more nefarious motives?
No, not at all, because when we start talking about subpoenas, you know, the roll call vote they just had trying to subpoena documents from the State Department, from OMB. They've tried to subpoena everything into President Trump, whether it's his tax returns. The SDNY in New York has tried to subpoena the president. The House has subpoenaed every single thing that the president's tried to do. It's unprecedented and it's unfounded. And I think the American people, every time they see this, they're saying, you're in search of a crime. You actually don't have a crime.
Yeah.
So the more the Democrats continue to ask for subpoenas, I think it's the more obvious it becomes to the American people that they're simply just in search of a crime. They don't actually have any hard evidence, which is why they're still calling for more witnesses. They had total control over the impeachment inquiry in the House, where Republicans were not allowed to bring forth anybody that they wanted to bring because we had to have Democrats sign off on approval at the end of it. So it's pretty hypocritical of them to be asking for more subpoenas now when they have every opportunity to do that in the House.
And just for folks at home, to be clear, this is just tabled. It doesn't mean that it's settled, but what Mitch McConnell had said, following what was done under the Clinton impeachment, we will address these, but we'll address it after you do your opening remarks, and that all 53 Republicans voted to table is pretty telly that certainly the folks who want to pretend that Susan Collins and Murkowski and Romney and others are kind of on the fence and all this, it seems right now at least, they're sticking along with the party. We've been talking with Michael Joyce, Deputy Press Secretary for the RNC. Michael, thank you so much for spending some time with us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. We're going to continue our coverage of the impeachment hearing. When we come back, we return to the Senate floor to hear arguments coming from the Democrats as to why, on another amendment that Chuck Schumer just introduced, why they should be allowed to subpoena what they believe to be relevant documents from the Office of Management and Budget. Part of the reason why we want to hear specifically from the Democrats is you need to know specifically what talking points, what narrative they are trying to forward, so that when you have the conversations about impeachment with your friends and family members and coworkers, although probably from your coworkers, don't talk to them at all. They've got stuff to do. You'll at least be doing it from a position of knowledge.
This is live, continuing coverage of breaking news on AM 770 KTTH.
Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, a special coverage of the Senate impeachment trial. Today has been spent exclusively debating the merits of a set of rules that the Senate will follow over the course of this impeachment trial, which is expected to last until probably at least next Friday. Now, Mitch McConnell went in today with a resolution that he had to alter slightly. Going in, he said that it was going to be 24 hours over the course of 2 days given to the House managers on the Democratic side and the Donald Trump defense side. He has since changed that to 3 days apiece, still 24 hours after Susan Collins, the senator from Maine, spoke up and said it felt a little bit rushed. Now, for Mitch McConnell, he's doing that because he wants every single Republican to vote the same. That's his goal, because he doesn't want it to appear that there are cracks in the movement. They don't want to show any weakness. And that just got a test moments ago when the Senate voted on a request by Chuck Schumer, by the Democrats, to subpoena State Department documents. Now, going into this, Mitch McConnell said, you guys can vote on this at some point, but I'm going to vote to table this, move to table this, until later on in the process, much like we did under the impeachment of Bill Clinton. He says, look, we'll have that vote. We'll go on the record to see whether or not we're going to have any additional documents. We're going to go on the record to see if we're going to have any witnesses testify. But we're going to do that after your opening statements, which is really the bulk of the trial, and after senators submit their questions to either the Trump legal side or to the House managers. That vote was 53 Republicans to table that request, that amendment, to get the subpoena documents. The question was, would they get all 53? Would a Susan Collins start to break? Would Mitt Romney start to break with the party? The answer very clearly is no. They got every single Republican. So right now, yet again, the Democrats are asking for more documents, this time documents from the Office of Management and Budget. And really what this is about for the Democrats is to continue their case that they tried to push in the House, but now they're doing it on the Senate floor. They're not really arguing to the specific resolution. They're basically getting extra time to make their case to the American people because they know that they're not going to win any of these things. They're not going to win a single amendment. Right now, Representative Jason Crow, the Democrat from Colorado, who, by the way, comes from a district where I believe he won by just 2 points. He's one of the House managers making the case for the new amendments. What's interesting in all of this, going behind the scenes, unfortunately, because of the way that this is done, it's done in part because they want to make sure that senators aren't doing things for the camera and making it unnecessarily theatrical. The Senate only allows one camera, and it only is focused on the podium. So you really don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but we do have some rules. Some rules that on the docket for them to all follow. And the rules are kind of interesting. Not a single senator is allowed to speak during any of this. They can't whisper to the person sitting next to them. They can't make loud noises when something happens that they disagree with. They have to be completely silent. They can't have any electronics with them. They cannot have a phone. They don't have their staff alongside them that they can say, hey, why don't you tweet some stuff? They can't do any of that stuff. And so right now they are forced to actually listen to everything that's happening. But they're not all listening. Some of them apparently are falling asleep. We know that because we have reporters who are actually in the room. CNN, just a few moments ago, they had a rundown on some of the behaviors during all of this because a lot of these people, you know what, they've already made up their minds on both sides. They've been sitting there since early this morning or early this afternoon. They've been sitting there listening, not able to tweet. So they said Kirsten Gillibrand, the senator from New York, at one point fell asleep. She closed her eyes. And several moments later, she kind of just opened them very, very quickly and stood to an attention. So they're saying those folks you're getting a little bit restless. You had at one point, I think it was Tom Cotton, the Republican senator. He was just mindlessly tapping his pen and clicking it open and close, open and close, open and close. Then Joni Ernst, the Republican from Iowa, just turned around, gave him a look because she can't talk, and he immediately stopped. So these are the kind of fun things that are happening as some very important issues are being discussed. Another kind of just interesting tidbit about all of this, the only beverages that you can have are water or milk.
What?
I know. Producer Peyton is not allowed anything other than that one mug that's actually always empty. We tease him with the possibility of a beverage. We don't allow him. They can only bring milk or water.
Imagine sitting down for this with a nice glass of 2% ice cold milk.
Well, it's not going to be that cold because at some point it's going to get a little bit warm. Now, because they can't talk to each other, they can write notes. And so we've apparently seen some issues of senators writing notes to each other. It is kind of interesting the way that they're doing this. I'd like to find out who's going to be the first Republican to fall asleep. Because right now on the Democratic side, we've got the first Republican being Gillibrand. So we'll see who, if you want to weigh in and put in your bets, send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. Which Republican's going to be the first person to fall asleep? The Democrat so far is Gillibrand. Let's see how long that goes. Maybe she'll fall asleep again. Now, when we come back, we're going to be live on the Senate floor and we'll reset some of the big arguments here. The big complaint coming from the Democrats is that they want witnesses. Republicans say, we're open to witnesses, but you're going to have to do that after we do the opening statements. You've got 24 hours to make your case. And the Democrats, and you just heard Michael Joyce from the RNC, who was just on, the deputy press secretary, make the point of they're complaining essentially that they need more information to make sure that the Senate is voting on impeachment in a more informed way or in the most informed way. But for the longest time, they were telling us over and over and over and over again that this case is crystal clear. They've got all the evidence that they need. They've got mountains of evidence showing the president broke the law. They didn't actually include a law that was broken in the articles of impeachment, but, you know, that's a minor detail. So we're going to go live to the floor of the Senate when we come back for our continuing impeachment coverage. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. If you don't have the app, text the keyword app to 1-800-465-8770. So if you're out of your car and you want to continue to listen to the live coverage, you'll be able to do it wherever it is you are. We're back at the top of the hour.